Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. So glad to be with you on and having a topic that is so close to my heart and so close to many of the things that we discuss on this show. As you know, I like to cover the holistic picture and look at so many different aspects of well-being as it's possible to do. I had a great response to the interview with Dr. Thomas Levy, where I shared some of my own fascinating journey with health and well-being, specifically dentistry. And of course, I've done many, many interviews with people around good nutrition and around sobriety. And today we've got a great opportunity to hear from someone who looks at nutrition, but is also encouraging us to think about how we can make some really sensible choices around the food that we eat. So I'm going to be chatting to Rob Hobson, who is a leading nutritionist. And Rob has he's done a few great things for us in the past. He did a great interview for us a while ago around nutrition for sleep. And we were talking specifically to members of my community, the Sober Club. And he came up with some really great recipes and ideas for what we can eat or drink late at night that just helps a little bit with the sleep cycle. So I know Rob of old, as it were, for some of the great work he does. But I was really massively impressed recently when I saw that he had a new book out, Unprocess Your Life. And what's really fantastic about this book is that Rob, you know, the stuff that he does is very relatable. And what's great is that he takes, foods, everyday foods, things that all of us know and enjoy. And we often we just kind of go, oh, I suppose there's no real option but to buy the rubbish version. But actually, a lot of these things are ultra processed. And if we were to just make that shift away from eating the ultra processed foods, that makes a huge difference, because so much of what we eat has artificial flavorings in it, excess sugar, lots of ingredients that we don't know what the hell they even are. And what we really need is real food. And as Rob will share with us, you know, we're addicted, you know, there is a real issue with food addiction, and much of it is because of these UPFs, these ultra processed foods. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, I was remembering back to, particularly because of the dental stuff, I was remembering back to when my kids were young, and I fell for this, a lot of this stuff. Of course I did. You know, I wanted lunchbox treats and all of that. I remember we used to buy kind of dried fruit bars and we, you know, we thought we were being healthy, and oh my goodness, it's just a load of sugar and a load of nonsense in with it. But the reality is that we can, you know, make our diet cleaner. We can get stuff that's really flavorful, and we can make a lot of stuff ourselves. We can batch cook, and we can make our favorite sauces and mayonnaise and all kinds of, you know, fantastic food, you know, without needing to resort to buying the stuff that has a ton of sugar. I remember thinking that years ago, I remember we used to have big arguments in our household about tomato sauce because, you know, let's be honest, it's got a load of sugar in it. We can't beat about the bush, really, can we, with that? And again, you know, in Rob's book, you've got the opportunity to just get a really simple recipe to be able to make your own. You know, if you do have a blender, you know, if you've got a reasonably high speed blender, then it's really, really simple to be able to just knock up some of these fantastic things where you don't need to resort to, you know, the idea is you're going to save money as well. That's the really cool thing. And Rob's very credible. You know, he worked with the NHS, he helped to reform school meal menus, so he really knows about, you know, these foods that are high in salt and saturated fat and sugar, and also, you know, what we do know about these foods is that they lead on to addiction. This is the beginning, if you're giving this sort of stuff to kids, this is the beginning of leading to food addiction, which is just what absolutely what we do not want. So just to mention, just before we get into this, some of the recipes that I absolutely loved from Rob's book. So, you know, one of the things that my kids used to like to eat was things like chicken nuggets, and of course we would say absolutely not, but you know, you can absolutely do this stuff because you can get decent quality chicken if you're going to eat that, and you don't need to then pad out the breaded bit, as it were, because it's going to have stabilizers in it and goodness knows what else, and a whole load of E numbers. I mean, it's scary when you look at the packet, right? But Rob has a recipe in the book which literally has in it you know, chicken breasts, some wholemeal bread, which you can get really good quality bread, garlic, some mixed seeds in there, a couple of eggs, flour, olive oil, and a bit of salt. I mean, you know, it couldn't be easier. It shows you really simple ways of making the kind of food that your kids are probably going to want to eat. Back on the tomato sauce, as I mentioned, that's just a fantastic, simple recipe, because you really just need, you know, tomatoes, tomato puree, I think he has in the recipe. I haven't got it in front of me, but the key ingredients, the magic ingredients, are to add a little bit of apple cider vinegar, bit of allspice, tiny bit of honey to sweeten. And just imagine how much better for you that's going to be than buying something that's got potentially, I don't know, 4 or 5 teaspoons of sugar in. I mean, a lot of jarred sauces have got up to 8 teaspoons of sugar, which is just terrifying, isn't it, if you think about it? It really is incredible. Anyways, so Rob's got some fantastic recipes. It's a really great book, Unprocess Your Life, and I thought it'd be great to have a chat to Rob about the book. Just before we get into that, I do touch on it briefly in the interview, but I just wanted to remind everyone, you know that I run the Sober Club, you know that my book is Happy, Healthy, Sober, you know that I also do the Alcohol Free Life podcast. And one of the things that I'm really, really conscious of is that when people first decide to stop drinking, they can often go through this phase of thinking, oh, okay, so I'll also shed a bit of weight. You know, I'll skip some meals because, you know, I'm not going to be focusing on drinking, so I won't eat either. And I'll lose a bit of weight and feel better. And that could not be more wrong, basically. It's so important to look after your diet. When you stop drinking, you need really, really good nutritious foods. And the reason for that is because your brain chemistry is going to be completely out of whack. And it's so important to balance that brain chemistry by putting in really, really good food. So I know it sounds obvious, but we really do need real food. So again, this book is perfect because we need proper food rather than a load of processed stuff. And one of the keys to the early weeks of stopping drinking is to have nutrient-dense food that is literally, you know, full of all the good stuff. So again, sounds obvious, but we need protein with every meal. So if you have 3 meals a day, you're going to need 3 lots of protein. And that doesn't have to mean, you know, necessarily, you know, a steak. It might be a handful of nuts, but you do need protein. So sometimes clients will say to me, oh, you'll be really proud of me, you know, I'm really good, I had some you know, cereal or some granola or you know, something like porridge or something for breakfast, and with a little bit of fruit, and that's great, but there's not really any protein there. So you really do need to make sure you add some in. And again, you know, people might say, oh, at lunchtime, I was good. I had a vegetable soup and some bread. Well, again, yeah, fantastic. But you do need a little bit of protein with it. So really important to focus on that if you're on the early weeks of stopping drinking. And we touch on it in the interview. But what is also almost certainly going to happen for you if you're in the early weeks of stopping drinking is that you're going to be getting the sugar monster come in. You know, that little voice in the head is going to say, oh my goodness, you know, where's the sugar gone? Because you're not getting the same hit if you're not drinking. And yes, we do have to consider the sugar, but now is not the time to necessarily, you know, give it up completely. That's just going to be too much. We do have to take things one at a time. So instead of that, again, look in something like Rob's book and find some swaps, do some fantastic swaps, put some dates in the freezer. They taste a bit like truffles, you know, have some really nice dark chocolate with some almonds. Do some interesting sugar swaps. You know that when it comes to alcohol, I say keep the ritual, change the ingredients. And the similar sort of thing is there for food, really. We do need to, we are going to need some sugar. Of course we are. We can't get rid of it completely, but we need to just think of some decent swaps that are going to work for us. The other thing that's really important is to boost our mood with food. So, you know, we're not going to be having the same levels of dopamine coming in. And of course, we need serotonin. It's that wonderful mood boosting chemical, the feel good chemical. And in order to get that, we need really good foods that will boost serotonin levels and literally make us happier. So, you know, foods like salmon that have high levels of omega-3, vitamin D. We need eggs that offer complete protein. We need turkey and poultry. Turkey is really good for sleep, by the way. You know, we can have something like soybean, tofu, avocados. This is all just off the top of my head, stuff that can help boost serotonin and help boost different levels that we have going on. Fats, by the way, I know that again, Rob will say the same thing, but fats have had a bad rap. But actually, we really do need good fats to help us, you know, as we navigate those early weeks of not drinking. So I really hope I've kind of drummed that home. It's so important. I think so often people don't realize the importance of really good, you know, seriously good food in those early weeks of stopping drinking. And if weight is something that you're concerned about, you know, my top tip there would be just ditch the booze first, learn to love yourself a little bit first, and worry about the weight later. Trust me, it really makes a difference. So I really hope you enjoy the interview. Leading nutritionist Rob Hobson. Well, I'm absolutely delighted to be able to chat to Rob Hobson again. We chatted, goodness, ages ago, wasn't it, Rob, about sleep?
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah.
You wear glasses now. That's how long it's been, so I can't
No.
really.
Yeah, so we'd spoke about sleep and a few other bits and bobs around nutrition, but recently I've just been it's just been amazing to see all the press and publicity around your latest book, Unprocess Your Life, and it just is such a fantastic book, and I think you've done such an amazing job in kind of you know, helping people who might not have even thought that way before, if you like, adopt a you know, really sort of wholesome approach to unprocessed foods. So well done you. You know, it really is a great read. So tell us a bit about the origins of it then. I mean, share a little bit of your story and the work you do and how did this particular book come about?
Yes, so I'm a nutritionist. I'm a registered nutritionist and registered sports nutritionist. So I work with private clients, and through my consultancy, I also work with brands and the wellness industry, and anything really to do with oops, to do with nutrition, that side of things, working at retreats, all sorts of stuff I get involved. And then I basically got interested in this book because I started reading around the topic, and I just thought it was really. And then I looked at what I was eating, and even though I was eating healthily, I still saw these foods were ultra processed. And we can talk about this in a bit. I mean, there is a bit of contention between energy ultra processed foods and then some that, you know, your pizzas, your takeaway foods, and all that kind of stuff. But essentially, what I thought was, I'm eating healthily, but this stuff is ultra processed. So I decided to make the cookbook, which was really just meant to be a collection of homemade versions of ultra processed foods that you normally buy, and then sort of evolved into something else, which was I kind of realized that people have a weak spot during the day when they're more likely to eat an ultra processed food. So I decided to lay it out as in feeding the kids or breakfast time or speedy meals if you've come in late from work and that's when you reach for something ultra processed. And then the rest of it was really just my experience of trying to actually do this, live unprocessed. So just tips and tricks as the best way to approach it. Be very realistic. You know, nobody's telling you to give these foods up for good. It's just about cutting back, making healthier food choices, and almost the UPF thing is really just like like a nice trigger for people, you know, to make a change, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go any further, then, let's just establish, you know, what ultra processed foods are. Yeah. You know, just in case anyone's thinking, oh my goodness, well, what does that mean? Is it only a chicken takeaway, or what is, you know, what, you know, can you loosely tell us the food groups? Or, well, I mean, in a sense, they're not, a lot of it is not even food, is it? But maybe that's going another layer.
So basically, we have this classification system called the NOVA system, which was created by researchers, and that was to help classify, originally actually look at patterns in the way. But then it's been used since to sort of think about where certain foods fit in to whether they're processed or ultra processed. So you obviously have your unprocessed, minimally processed foods. So these are things like you'd expect, lean meats, sort of foods in their natural state, whole grains, pulses, lentils. Minimally processed could be a pasta. So you've added a bit of water to the flour, create another dish. Then we've got processed. So processed is basically foods that have maybe had something added to them, like a culinary ingredient. So that could be some chickpea in salted water. It could be salted nuts. Do you see what I mean? It's where you've got the unprocessed food with a bit of salt, sugar, honey, or whatever added to it, but it's had minimal processing. Ultra processed foods are foods that, if you look at the ingredient list, they're very long. They're normally got a very long shelf life. They're made to be very convenient. They've got ingredients that you might not recognize in your normal kitchen. So emulsifiers, preservatives, artificial colorings, flavorings, you wouldn't be able to recreate these foods. So they're your ultra processed foods. And we're talking about, like you said, a lot of takeaway food. It could be jarred sauces, pizzas, ready meals, those kind of manufactured products. I think what does a bit confusing for people is, you know, when you look at the research, there isn't a lot of information on exactly what to look out for on the causing the most damage. So people are like, what do I give up? What preservative do I look for? That doesn't really exist, that type of research. But we know overall that if you eat a lot of these foods, they're not great for your health. Mm. So, you know, the consensus is to try and cut back on them as much as possible.
I mean, what is the, again, we won't go too much on this because I think we all realise that we want to aim to eat as unprocessed as possible. But just to kind of drive it home a little bit more, what are the impacts of these foods? I mean, we know that many of them are very high in sugar. So that ain't going to be a good start, or sweetener, which you might argue is even worse. But then there's all these, as you say, unrecognizable things, you know, the emulsifiers, the kind of the weird stuff. So, you know, at its worst, why are these impacting our health?
So if we look at the research, what they found was, well, to start with, we know, like you said, foods high in saturated fat, salt and sugar can increase our risk of diseases like cardiovascular disease. We know that. And that's what's in a lot of ultra processed foods. But when the researchers looked at food intake and then they looked at the risks for these diseases, they actually took out the element of saturated fat, salt and sugar and found that there was still a risk happening. And some of them were quite big risks. You know, the higher intakes of UPS were sort of 24% more likely to get cardiovascular disease events than people that didn't have these high intakes, as just one example. Mm. And there's lots of research around certain types of cancer, dementia, depression, cardiovascular disease, gut inflammation. So, yes, there's a lot of research to sort of indicate. I mean, the research is observational, so you can't definitively say that does this. We don't have that research yet. But as a pattern intake, it's very clear that people that have the highest intake of foods have an increased risk of disease. So, therefore, it's a good idea to sort of eat less of them.
Absolutely. And I know also, you know, something that's very relevant to listeners to this is that, you know, you also touch in the book on the connection between food and brain chemistry, effectively. So what does it do to us emotionally? It's not just the physical side of things, is it? You know, it can, I mean, food affects our mood, obviously. And there'll be a lot of people listening who have stopped drinking, and so they're not getting their kind of dopamine rush in quite the same way. So the food that we eat becomes really important when we're trying to get that brain chemistry balance right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got instances. I mean, Looking at the other elements, which are actually really interesting about UPS as well, is the fact that you change the food matrix. So these foods are much softer, they're much more quickly digested, so you can eat them very fast and you can overconsume them. They're also marketed in a way to us that makes us want to eat them. You know, the way they're designed, the flavours, the even the shape of them and the mouthfeel, they're moreish. We want to eat more of them. But that food matrix thing could impact on your blood sugar levels. It could send your blood sugar levels quite imbalanced if you're getting these very processed carbohydrate foods. So that could impact on your mood. You know, we've seen there's some research, animal studies, that are looking at the impact that emulsifiers, for example, have on the diversity of bacteria in your gut. Mm. And that we know that if you have a poor gut bacteria diversity, microbiota, then that can impact on your, it could impact on your mental health. Most of the cells in your body is made in your gut. You're also looking at, you know, issues with gut infection, maybe even issues around cardiovascular disease because of that imbalance. And of course, obesity is a big one. That connection between certain hunger and satiety hormones that happen in your brain could get disrupted. So there are lots of things to think about. But I think what's really important is that people don't get really paranoid about this and start trying to cut everything out, get overly concerned about looking at food labels, worrying about if they can't afford to eat completely unprocessed, are they doing something wrong, instead of looking for usable, workable solutions?
In
the context of what the information is that's being given to us, which is kind of what I tried to do with the book, really, is just try and put it into context and offer workable solutions so you can do the best you can without feeling like you're doing something wrong or you're going to get sick.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you've got some fantastic recipes in the book, you know, some, as you say, you know, sort of versions of this, the kind of stuff you might buy that ends up being quite processed. You've given us kind of relatively simple ways of creating that. I mean, one of the things I really liked is you give us a very, there's very simple recipes for things like nut milks. Now, you know, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because so many people are thinking, oh, I'll avoid dairy, so I'll have a plant-based milks. But actually, a lot of them are absolutely full of crap. That's the reality. You know, I said that, you didn't. But fortunately, it's very simple to make your own, right?
Yeah, it is really simple. And you're right about nut milks. And actually, a lot of vegan foods, you know, the way that make it, give it a shelf life, give it the right consistency and everything else you need to do. Often many of them have a lot of additives added. Mm. This was what was really fun for me creating the book, was actually, I was like, wow, I've actually made my own nut milk. And then I was making coconut milk, and I was making tomato ketchup.
You just cut out there for a moment. Sorry, you said you were making tomato ketchup. Yeah, I like the sound of that. My kids, you know, I mean, we eat really healthily, but the kids will insist on really crap tomato ketchup.
You know what about tomato ketchup? It is really hard to get it red. So if you make it yourself.
Because it's kind of orange, isn't it? Yeah.
Add allspice, which is the flavouring in it, and it goes brown. So I don't know how Heinz do it. You know, what you look on the spice extract, whatever they are. So, you know.
Yeah. But I think, you know, some of those kind of very simple ideas for, you know, things like nut milk, you've got a vegan version of mayonnaise, which is easy to make. You even teach us how to make vegetable stock, which I've got to confess I haven't tried yet, but I really like the idea of that. I mean, what a fantastic idea, make your own vegetable stock. Who'd have thought?
And also to batch it, you know, when you go to the effort of making it, make lots of it. I've got loads of stuff in my fridge. There then, ready for you to start making other dishes. I mean, I say that flippantly as well, because also I've worked with clients and I'm like, batch cook, and then I realize they haven't got a freezer, or they've got a small freezer. So again, it's looking for workable what stuff can keep in the fridge for 4 or 5 days, and then if you've only got that one batch dish in the fridge, how can you change that every day to turn it into something that's interesting to eat, so you don't get this sort of fatigue? So again, it's just thinking about individual, right? And this is the whole about nutrition advice and everything else you give. So yes, you just about workable solutions and finding out what works for you.
And you know, what's your view then on how we kind of balance the kind of macronutrients? How do we look at how we get the right sort of balance of stuff, you know, how much fat, how much carbohydrate, how much protein? What's your view on that? Because, you know, personally, I look at the government's, you know, eat well or whatever it is plate, and to me that would be the eat badly plate, because I don't agree with it at all. Well, that's just my personal view, but I'd be interested to know what you think.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I mean, the Eat Well plates come under a lot of criticism, but it is based on science. So it's intrinsically, it's right. But, you know, I think people get confused with it because they think that it's on a plate every day or every meal. It's actually just a general advice that the majority of your diet should probably come from unprocessed grains. So we've got brown rice, you know, brown pasta, those kind of foods. Then you've got your nice lean proteins. Some people prefer to eat more protein and less carbohydrate. That just works better for them. They might be more sensitive to carbohydrates and they really feel that sugar and the hunger that comes after eating those kind of foods. So there might be a bit of jiggling around that. Some people find it's easier to manage weight if they have a bit more protein, a little less carb in their diet, or they feel less tired because of the effect of these blood sugar changes. Yeah. And then I think one for me is fat. It's getting people to understand that fat isn't bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think that's really where I've perhaps got it wrong. If I've got it wrong, is that what I've read tends to gear towards, you know, low fat options, and I personally don't agree with that at all.
I don't agree with that either. I think you're completely right there. And I think that people need to get out of that 90s messaging that was eat low fat. Actually, fat is a hugely important part of our diet. It helps to fill you up, keep you feeling full. It helps. It's got a lot of nutrients in there that are fat soluble. And from a UPF perspective, you know, the whole fat foods are in their most unprocessed form. So, you know, rather than reaching for a virtually fat-free yogurt that's got artificial colour, sweetener, thickener,
exactly.
Everything else. You're better off having a little bit of some nice whole fat Greek yogurt with some fresh berries. It's going to be better.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fuller for longer because there's more of it to digest and this sort of weird concoction that you get.
Yeah, but then it gets confusing again, doesn't it? Because then people go, okay, so I'll make sure that, you know, so fats are okay, so I'll make sure I cook with oils. And then you get all the conflicting advice around, you know, the how bad for you certain seed oils are. So what would you recommend in terms of cooking?
Yeah, this question drives me. I get questions all the time, like, what's your opinion on rapeseed oil? What's your opinion on blah, blah, blah? My view on this is, I don't even know why. If you're concerned, just use olive oil. It's been used in the Mediterranean for hundreds of years. It's part of the Mediterranean diet, which we know is fantastically good for us, reduces our risk of all sorts of health conditions. So I don't know why people are arguing over oil.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more the kind of the cheap vegetable oils that you know, we get them. We certainly feel as though they're not, you know, at a high smoke point. That's not going to be ideal, right?
So this is another thing. Somebody actually made a criticism about my book on Amazon about this. But you can use olive oil for everything. The only thing you can't use it for is deep fat frying. Yeah. And that's what I recommend you do on a regular basis anyway with your foods. You can use it because it does have a smoking point. It's okay for this. It doesn't change it.
Olive oil, yeah. But not the cheap vegetable oils. That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think you can buy pretty reasonably priced extra virgin olive oil now from the supermarket.
It's really gone up, though, don't you think? My God, I'm sure it's increased massively in the last 6 months.
I think I read somewhere that there is a problem with production, so I think the prices are going up. But I mean, I think the next best oils for me, well, I was going to say rapeseed oil, but it seems to come with a lot of criticism, rapeseed, because of the omega content and because of the uric and stuff like that. So, I mean, I would just try and stick to it. And I would, when you're cooking with oil as well, you don't need to just free pour. You know, if this is where I think with people that are like, I'm using healthy oil, but I'm putting on weight, you just need a tablespoon. You're better off buying yourself a really good nonstick pan, so you need to use less oil. You know, just to cook with. And also on that olive oil front, you know, there are different types of olive oil. So if you're going to buy very expensive olive oil, you're obviously not going to cook with it. You drizzle with it.
Yeah.
You know, the other type you buy is perfectly fine.
Yeah, sure. And then, of course, you know, we have to touch on sugar. Again, many people listening to this will have got a total sugar head on after they've stopped drinking. It's, you know, it's very common. And, you know, in the early weeks, we tend to say, look, you know, it's not your biggest problem right now, but obviously have, you know, healthier sugar swaps if you can, you know, wherever you can, let's have a square of dark chocolate or whatever, rather than, you know, mainlining on Haribo's or whatever. But what advice would you give generally around sugar, given that, you know, again, your book, you know, you're trying to be realistic. It's pointless trying to say avoid all sugar because it ain't going to happen, you know. Although making your own tomato sauce is a good start, isn't it? Or whatever, because you're not going to be getting all the hidden sugars.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would start with do it slowly, you know. Don't just, I think anybody, I'm with my clients, anyone that says I'm going to give this up, they give it all at once, and then they start getting cravings for it and they just want more of it. Gradually reduce your sugar intake, and I guarantee you will want less of it the less you eat. It's just how it works. Maybe look for simple food swaps to start with, like you said, the dark chocolate instead of the Haribo. You know, stop putting sugar in your tea. Just all those little small changes do actually add up to quite a big change if you stick with it over a long period of time. And over that time, you sort of weaned yourself off slowly. Like you said, look out for hidden sugars. So, you know, you can check the front of the packet. That'll tell you. The traffic light labeling will show you how much sugar's in there. You know, it's just about going nice and slow and steady, rather than just trying to give it all up all together at once.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And just to reiterate, I'm sure you agree with me that artificial sweeteners are, you know, the devil's own work. So I wouldn't go for that.
Funnily enough, I never used to think that, because I was always in the mindset, which I've been trained for, is that they're a good alternative to sugar. There's some people that can benefit, people that are trying to lose weight, for example. But yeah, my opinion has done a bit of a U-turn, and now I'm very, like, better off having a little bit of sugar, to be honest, than the artificial sweetener. You know, again, it's to do with your gut microbiome. There's some research about how it can alter that. And also the fact that high amounts of these artificial sweeteners can trigger the same sweet taste
exactly.
response
mm.
brain. So, and actually, this is something I used to work on a show called Super Size, Super Skinny. Mm. And it was, even then, there was the people that were sort of very overweight, drank loads of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
On the show was, you know, that you develop a sweet taste because it's even sweeter than sugar, and it can cause you to want to eat more sweet food. So yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah, sure. And you talk as well about mindful eating, and I think this is a really important one, isn't it? That this whole thing around, you know, how do we take a bit more of a mindful approach to our meals? I mean, I think most of us realize that kind of just eating on the hop too often is not going to be good for us. But what else can we do to kind of focus on eating mindfully?
Well, make time for food to start with, I think, is one of the most important things. You know, you need to, it's important that you, we all think we're so busy, don't we? We're all too busy to do something, this and that. But we've always got enough time, really, to sit down and focus on food and eat something. There's lots of techniques. Everyone talks about putting a nice fork down between mouthfuls, not having dinner on your lap in front of the TV, so you're actually focused on the moment.
Yeah.
Quickly, which, you know, I'm really bad for this. I'm really trying to do it much more slowly so that your body can really register the ball. But on the UPF front, that's quite hard because a lot of these foods are very soft. Bread has got emulsifying that's softening it up. Pringles melt in the mouth. Breakfast cereal goes soggy very quickly. So it's really easy to wolf these foods down and bypass those satiety signals so that you're then still wanting to eat. And, you know, there's research that shows that the speed that you eat, you can consume as much as 500 calories more by the speed and the quantity of the food that you eat, because it's much softer and easier to pull down and digest. So, you know, yes, I do think focusing on mindful eating is definitely very important.
Sure. So finally then, share what would be your favourite recipe or your favourite kind of group of recipes that you've got in this book? What are you kind of proud of?
That chicken tikka recipe I put together is absolutely delicious. The bread is very good. I'm not a bread maker.
Tell us about the bread. What is it, easy to make?
It's dead easy. So when you make bread, you've got to do two proofings. And unfortunately, that takes an hour each. So you need to set aside some time. But honestly, once you get the flow of it, it's just dry ingredients, bit of water. You've got to knead it, so it gets you a bit fit at the same time. Really, really easy to make, and it is really tasty. I make two a time, and I live on my own, so I just slice them up straight away and put them in a bag. Because I tried to do sourdough a gazillion times.
Well, then you need a sourdough starter, don't you? So you're into another whole thing.
Yeah, and I just couldn't get it. So I hadn't got the patience or the. I just lost the will to live. So I decided to do a normal braise in the book, and actually the pita as well. They're so easy to do. I would definitely try some of those sort of those bread products because they're really cool. And there's a, I'll keep going now. There's the tagine that's amazing as well.
A tagine?
A tagine that's very good. And I do it with a tahini dressing that's absolutely delicious and pomegranates. And the way the book's designed is that you make more of the dressings. And I feature the dressings in lots of recipes so that if you've got left, you can look for a recipe to use up what you've got left. So there's ways of navigating the book to avoid. And hopefully save a bit of money and make it easier.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that. You know, I think if people only take away that kind of idea of, you know what, I can drum up my own sauce and dressing and make foods interesting. Even just by doing that, you've made everything so much healthier because you've taken away all that, the emulsifiers and the sugars and the God knows what that's in those jars.
I mean, to be honest, if all you took away is made some pita breads a week, cooked a couple of dishes, I made your own tomato ketchup. You know, if that's what you took away from this and you did that every week, then you've done something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For bread, you've done something, which is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, fantastic. And if you're having plant-based milk, make your own. Because it's easy. It really is.
So you should try making your own nut butter. It's surprisingly a lot easier.
Oh, I haven't done that. Okay.
Stick in the food processor, 10 minutes, it's like magic. It just turns to nut butter. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, the thing is, you know, if you make these things fresh, they don't need all the preservatives. It's not their fault. No. They're having to put preservatives in because the goddamn thing needs a 2-year shelf life. But when you're making it yourself, you don't need that, right?
Which is kind of different by us as well, because we want things to last long. We want things to convenience. So it's been driven by everybody. But yes, home cook, start making some of your own stuff. Recommend
yeah,
that.
Sure. Just one last thing that I have to ask you quickly. When we spoke last, we did a whole interview around sleep, around nutrition for sleep. But just very briefly, you know, what's your top tip as to how, you know, unprocessed food and good food can help us with sleep, particularly if we're in the early weeks of ditching the booze and sleep is not easy?
Yeah, definitely. So if you're going to choose something ultra processed for dinner, for example, there's a good chance it's high in saturated fat and it's high in sugar. The sugar's probably going to keep you awake or make you awake later in the evening, especially if you've got like type 2 diabetes. It's a big one for that. You can get indigestion quite easily from these high fat foods. So I would think if you're having unprocessed foods, which are much more nutrient dense, you're more likely to get the nutrients that promote sleep. So magnesium, example, we use B vitamins and calcium we use to make melatonin in the brain. So just getting that a really good nutritious diet overall will help you in your path to getting a better sleep. Getting nutrients that help support.
Great. I know on our last session you gave us a idea as well for a really lovely nighttime drink, so I'll drag out the recipe and we'll share that as well. Really good. So Rob, just remind us, the book is Unprocess Your Life. Remind us of your website and your Instagram.
Yep. So you can contact me through the contact page on robhobson.co.uk. My Instagram handle is robhobsonnutritionist, and that's probably all you need to know. The book's called Unprocess Your Life. It's available on Amazon, Waterstones, Sainsbury's, lots of other shops, W. Smith's.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well done, you, Rob. It's a really brilliant book. I love it. Thank you.
That's really kind. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Really appreciate some of those tips, and do get a copy of that great book, Unprocess Your Life. If you have thought about joining us in the Sober Club, do join us. It doesn't matter if you're sober curious or if you've been sober for many years. We've got members who are 13 years sober, because it's about what's next, isn't it? It's never only about not drinking. It's about everything else. It's about creating that life that you don't have to escape from. And in the Sober Club, we have a whole section on nutrition. We call it Nutrition and Fitness Buzz. And in that section, there are interviews. There is one with Rob, as I mentioned before, on sober sleep. We also have interviews there with some other leading nutritionists and experts around nutrition. We've got a lot on beating sugar cravings. There's a great interview with Helena Cavan on sugar swaps, on different things you can have instead of sugar. One of Helena's tips, of course, is she says, always ask yourself, if you've got a sugar craving, ask yourself, is it that I'm actually looking for sweetness in my life? So there's an interesting one, always worth thinking about whether it's not actually that you need actual energy and food at this point. It's that you need some sweetness in your life, and possibly, just possibly, there is another way of doing that. There is another way of, you know, bringing in some sweetness. How else can you surf the urge? Is it that you could go and do something else? You could go out, go for a walk, go for a run, go and walk through the trees, go and walk by the sea if you're lucky enough to live near it. What else could you do? Could you go and do some kind of activity? Because, you know, none of this is ever only about nutrition, is it? It's also about our mindsets, about how we're feeling about ourselves. So all of those things are really key and super important. So if you are thinking of ditching the booze, or perhaps you've been sober for a while, check out The Sober Club. It's thesoberclub.com. It would be lovely to have you as one of our members. There are so many advantages to being a member. Of course, I would say that, wouldn't I? But it's very low cost. It's very high value. So so do check it out. And of course, my podcast, alongside the UK Health Radio podcast, is called Alcohol Free Life. I have a whole host of incredible guests as part of that podcast. So hopefully we'll get to see you there. And I'll see you same time on UK Health Radio.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.